Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Oh my god! Ah! Oh no! Hi everybody!
Hello everyone!
My name is David Bell.
I am Tom Ryan.
And we just watched The Fanatic!
The Fanatic!
Yes!
It's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Dunbar. Is Hunter Dunbar here tonight?
That's enough.
I need to get an autograph. Don't let him do this to me.
I'm a fan.
I'm a number one fan.
Is it difficult to find famous people's houses?
I use my Star Map app. You have to be careful. I don't want you to be accused of stalking.
Hey, you can't just come to my private residence looking for me.
Listen, pal, I don't know how you found me, but I don't ever want to see you in this neighborhood again.
Okay.
I wanna do like I forget what they call it, the ministry work for this, where you go door to door and ask people if they've heard the good word about The Fanatic.
Oh yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you have a moment to discuss John Travolta's wig in The Fanatic?
Holy shit! So we just is your mic and everything all set up, by the way?
Oh yeah.
All right. We didn't do any we did no prep. we jumped on, because all I want to talk about is this movie right now.
Yeah.
We weren't even supposed to record it just now. We were recording it. We were going to record it later. Tom.
You guys are going to discover that as soon as the movie's over, all you want to do is talk to everyone you know about it.
Yes, Tom. What did you think of The Fanatic?
This is the most batshit movie.
Yes. Okay.
It's wonderful. It's just the zaniest fucking stalker thriller I've ever seen.
I wanna say two things that I believe are true. One thing. Mm-hmm. Everybody's doing a great job in this movie. I think Fred Durst did a good job as a director. Devon Sawa, great job. Fantastic. John Travolta, for what he's doing, he's doing it.
Man, he attacked this.
Yeah,
he was like, this is going to be my Rain Man.
Oh, yeah. He's going for it.
Yeah, he is going for it in a way that may be offensive to some people. No, I don't know.
I was going to get to that. Because this may or may not have set back like set us back like a decade when it comes to like mental health advocacy. Second thing is I guess it's three things, because I thoroughly enjoyed this movie.
It's great schlock.
Yes, I think everybody should watch it. I think, again, the actors are doing a good job, and not in an ironic way. Like, they're doing it. Third thing is, the ending of this movie is absolutely nonsense.
The ending of this movie is out of control. The ending of this movie felt like Fred Durst telling us all to never break into his house.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You want to skip right to the ending? Spoilers for The Fanatic.
Yeah, spoilers for the very end of The Fanatic, you guys. So plug your little ear holes.
Yeah, here's the weirdest thing about this ending is that it's not... If this movie was 10 minutes longer, it would be the opposite. Like, this movie seems to want us to think that the ending is Devon Sawa going to jail.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what's going to happen. And it's weird that the movie thinks that we're going to think that's going to happen.
Yeah. There's a lot to cover.
Let's start.
In the 83 minutes that The Fanatic is on screen, a lot to discuss.
It flew by for me, too.
It kind of did, yeah.
I could have watched another 83 minutes of this.
Just him doing his British cop routine on Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh, my fucking God.
The Beatles are here!
That was amazing. What?
That was, oh my decision. God.
All right, so John Travolta plays Moose.
Moose.
Yep. A fanboy with, I believe, autism.
Yeah, they never come out and say what his difficulty is, but he clearly has some sort of like social development disorder.
Yes. And so, oh man, I would argue that he doesn't just have like autism. I would argue
he's also like, yeah,
he's also a sociopath.
Yeah.
And that's the part of the movie that's a problem.
Yeah.
Because
it's like conflating the two. It's like, no, these are separate things.
Yes.
Like, he's not doing this because he has a development disorder. He's doing this because he's has an empathy problem.
Yes. And I would even say that they didn't have to do any of that. And I wonder if it was John Travolta's idea. I don't know whose idea it was. He commits. So Moose
is... 110%. Yeah. And yeah, I have no idea why they decided to make him autistic, or maybe he has Asperger's, but I don't understand why they, because it doesn't have anything to do with the story.
No, it doesn't. And that's the issue is that it feels like they want it to have something to do with the story.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't.
No, it's sort of, it's like a detail. It's not the reason for why he...
I think maybe they might have wanted us to actually sympathize with him, because that's one of the things about this movie is when it ended, I'm just like, I don't know whose side I'm supposed to be on. Because I was at times, I was like, yeah, Moose, yeah, you choke Toby. You choke him.
Yes, choke that son of a bitch. That weird street magician that keeps harassing him.
The high school bully who's in his 30s.
Yeah, there's like a rival street magician, like a street illusionist
slash
on Hollywood
pickpocket.
Boulevard. Yeah, he's doing like a cut purse routine where he's got a buddy that is like picking people's pockets while he's doing his tricks. And like for some reason, he keeps harassing Moose to join his act. It's like, what is your problem?
Yeah, why do you need Moose?
Why do you want this guy to work with you?
Well, like, they first show his like pickpocket assistant quitting on him.
Yeah, and then he's like back the next day and they assault him in a bathroom.
And then it comes back to him being like, come on, Moose, come on. Like, it's the assistant quits. He tries to get Moose involved. Then it's him back with the assistant bullying Moose. Mm-hmm. I wonder if the scenes are out of order. And then it's him in an alleyway being like, come on, Moose, I need you. And it's like, what happened? Did you break
What's
up
going
again
on
with
in this
your
guy's
assistant?
Life? Yeah, they have a rocky relationship with his partner.
Yeah, and I would argue that character is far, far more of a bummer than anybody else in this.
The street magician?
Yeah. So Moose is like a collector. He's obsessed with Devon Sawa's character. He's an actor whose name escapes me.
It's Hunter something.
Hunter Dunbar. More like Hunter Dummy.
He does say that, and it's glorious.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They don't. Yeah. They do everything. They do everything.
Everything you could think of. They use every part of the buffalo.
They really do. So he's obsessed with Devon Sawa. And he goes, he sneaks into a party trying to find him. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not there. He has a friend who's a paparazzi.
Can we talk about that relationship?
Yeah, she's just the biggest enabler.
Yeah, and she narrates the film for some reason.
Yeah, that was a weird choice. All right, here's, again, spoilers. We've already kind of had some spoilers, but...
I mean, we're wading into them now.
When a side character narrates...
Mm-hmm.
To me, that implies that the main characters aren't around to tell their story anymore.
Correct.
That's what that's supposed to mean. And in a way, that sort of happens, but not. Also not. Because, spoilers, John Travolta survives at the end.
Yeah, he gets his hand blown to pieces, his eardrums blasted out, and his eye cut out.
Right. He sure does.
Jesus Christ. The ending of this movie is like, what?
The ending is so fucking... Holy shit. Again, it's not that the ending is unrealistic necessarily. It's that it ends like 10 minutes early.
Yeah.
It ends before John Travolta gets arrested.
Right.
For the inevitable thing he does. So he finally goes to a book signing with Devon Sawa, and his collector store friend sells him for cheap this leather jacket that Devon Sawa's character wore. in a movie. And he's like a kind of a B movie actor. He's like a horror actor.
Yeah.
And he gets to the front of the line, and Devon Sawa has his ex-wife, we assume, the mother of his child.
Shows up with his kid.
Shows up, and so he has to leave the signing, and so John Travolta goes after him in the alley, and Devon Sawa is just a real asshole to him.
It's interesting how they treat the Devon Sawa character, because, like, John Travolta, like, Moose is, that's inappropriate. Like, you shouldn't approach the guy while he's talking with his family. Oh,
100%. 100%.
But Devon Sawa is so aggro.
Well, that's the thing, is I kind of like that, because the idea is, and I feel like they were trying to set up the ending. But I didn't think they needed to, because the idea is that no one's necessarily the good guy and bad guy. It's there's a gray area. And that's what I liked about Devon Sawa's performance, is that he's an asshole.
He's
not wrong. And that's what it is. It was, and it's that thing of, like, yeah, I mean, a lot of people have probably had a bad experience with the celebrity, and that's what they're showing. Bruce Campbell refused to hug me once, which,
yeah, sure,
again, not, he wasn't wrong, but he could have hugged me. So I went to his house. Big deal.
Right. So I went to his house and tied him up.
Yeah.
So what? We've all been there.
Yeah. But yeah, so he's like a prick to him, because he's in a bad place. They show that he's a good father. They show that he's, like, again, he's an asshole, but he's not a bad person. And they make that very clear, which I liked. It felt like Fred Durst was saying something there about his own experiences.
Right, saying something about, look, it's the nature of what this business is.
Yeah,
that's,
but
like,
then,
the fault there.
Right, and part of me was still like, Sawa, just sign his thing. Come on, Sawa.
Yeah.
But again, he's not wrong. It's just...
Right, and also, like, a big... This movie could have been just Call the Police. Like, that's what it could have been called. It's like, just call the police.
The police don't exist in this movie until the very end.
So many times where, like, John Travolta shows up at his house. It's like, just call the cops.
Just call the cops, man. Well, he doesn't even at the end, he doesn't call the cops.
No, he cuts his eye out.
And then he politely lets him leave.
And he wraps his hand up and leads him out of the house.
That's, like, the moment.
Fucking maiming his ass.
Yeah, there's a moment in this film where things just get real wild. And I think that's it. It's the moment John Travolta quietly leaves his house. Imagine the ending of, like, Cape Fear if... like, Robert Mitchum was just like, well, I'll be off. And then then Gregory Peck?
Yeah.
That's his name. Yeah, if they were just like, you, sir, must leave. And he's just like, okay.
You're
like,
right. That's, you're right. Yeah. This was out of control. I definitely crossed the line.
Yeah. It's very strange. I would say it's the only thing, well, that and how it treats mental health, but, like, narrative wise that was my only complaint, was the ending was just batshit. Up until that moment I was with it, and again, I was still with it. I just started bursting into laughter when it ended. I was like, what? We haven't even gotten to, like, what makes that ending even most bizarre, but
you have to go. I'm sorry, John Travolta, you need to leave.
Yeah, you need to leave now. So
I should go.
So he goes to his paparazzi friend gives him an app that shows celebrity homes, which, if you knew Moose, you would know not to give Moose that.
Right. And then, like, later she's like, wait, you went to his house? Yeah, what did you think he was going to do when you showed him this?
And she's like, you can't be a creepy stalker. But, like, yeah, he's very clearly obsessed. She helps him sneak into a party at the beginning, and then she's like, I can't believe you went to his house. And it's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
So he goes to his house, and does he just hang out outside his house at first? Is that what happens?
At first he's hanging out outside, and then Devon Sawa shows up and chases him off. And then he shows up again to leave his letter in the backyard, and that's when the gardener chases him off.
Okay, so he didn't...
And then he shows
they
up
don't have
a
an encounter
third time.
And things go very wrong. He didn't have... There wasn't another encounter before he shows up at his house?
No.
Okay. So yeah, he shows up at his house, and he's like, what the fuck are you doing here? This is my house. I don't want to see you in this neighborhood again. And I thought that's what he wanted to give them, the letter. He wanted to give them an apology letter at first.
Yeah, he tries to give him the letter at that point, but then he he tells him to get lost and then writes his name on his chest. It's like, when I sign something, I'll sign your fucking chest, John Travolta.
Yeah. And at that point, see, this was the point where I was like, oh, Devin. But also, if I was John Travolta, I'd be like, well, that's probably good enough. But of course, it's not good enough for him. Because no. I would love a shirt that I was like if Bruce Campbell didn't hug me and then accosted me and angrily signed my shirt,
his name across your shirt,
I'd be like, well, that's a collector's item right there.
Yeah, that's this a story.
I got a shirt that Bruce Campbell spitefully signed.
Yeah, to get rid of me because I was harassing him
at his home. So yeah, then he kind of spirals. All this time, they keep cutting to him playing the British cop. We should explain that a little more.
That's it.
You know how on Hollywood Boulevard, on Hollywood Boulevard, there's like the people dressed as Spider-Man and stuff. That's what John Travolta is doing. I thought this was going to play into the plot. It really doesn't. But
not really.
He's
just in the sense that he's like somebody who's very, very obsessed with movies and the movie industry, and this is as close as he can get.
Yes. Yeah, that's what it felt like. And it mattered for the character, just not for the narrative. For the, I was wondering, is he gonna use that police uniform to sneak in somewhere? Or I don't know.
Is he gonna dress like a Bobby to sneak in somewhere?
Yeah, he dresses like a Bobby with a fake mustache and goes and does a bit where he's just
the wildest British. It's like it's John Travolta doing a bad British accent on purpose.
Yeah.
So just oh my god.
It is a shocking moment of the film when you realize that this is happening. Yeah, because when they show him putting on the uniform and the mustache, and you're just like, oh, what is he going to do? What is he going to do?
What sort of sex crime is he about to commit?
And I guess just enough for the 95% of the movie, he is the closest to a police presence in the film.
Yeah,
his British cop Travolta. Yeah. So yeah, he's doing that, and it's wild.
That's what he does. That's what he does for money.
Yeah, and he rides around on a little moped.
Rides around on his little moped.
And again, he's like a fully realized character.
Yeah.
I wanted. What they're trying to do is like a 1 hour photo. 1 hour photo was another one with Robin Williams playing a guy who was like there was clearly something wrong with him, but they didn't go like autism with that.
No, he had an issue.
Yeah, well, the reveal of that is that's a fantastic reveal. It's a devastating reveal of that movie. But, and I felt like they were trying to kind of... Travolta was thinking about that when he was doing this. Mm-hmm. Of, a sympathetic but kind of a scary
A sympathetic person who is... The more you spend time with them, you're like, oh, this person's real creepy.
Yeah.
And sinister.
Yeah. And so... yeah, he gets into a spiral where he's angry at the actor because he's an asshole to him. Mm-hmm. That's what he calls him, Hunter Dummy.
Yeah, Hunter Dummy.
Yeah, he talks at the mirror a lot. There's a lot of purposefully cringe moments in this where it's you it's supposed to be you don't want to look. Him before he meets him, he's practicing meeting him in the mirror, and he talks to him in the mirror all the time.
Yeah.
And it's that where all he's got.
Yeah, and when he gets thrown out of the party in the beginning, as he starts taking off his backpack, he's like, no, I just want to get one autograph from her. That's all I want. You should get your hands off.
Right.
It's real cringy.
Right, and again, they do a good job at, whenever those moments happen, I was like, man, just give him the autograph. He's not asking for much. He doesn't have a great life. Give him a fucking autograph, which I know is obviously, not the right instinct.
Right, if somebody came to your house and was like, give me an autograph, I wouldn't either, even though it seems simple, because it's like, well, I don't want to reward
somebody
showing up at my house.
I get it. Get it, but Travolta's playing it so sad that even when he has him tied up, I was like, come on, Sawa.
Just work with nice to him.
Just work with him, nice Sawa. Just let him light you on fire, Sawa.
Boy, come that on, turned David. So fast.
Yes.
When he does the visualization thing.
Yes. Oh, yes.
That's another he uses moment. The power
He uses the power of acting.
He defeats him with his acting, like Team America.
Which made me very happy.
Oh, it's great acting. But it's another cringeworthy moment where he's like, he like Travolta kind of turns into a little kid and is just like resting his head on his chest, like, "Oh, I love you."
Yeah.
And then so, Devin Sawa headbutts him and blows his hand off.
Oh my fucking god! We're getting ahead of ourselves. This fucking movie is great. This is such a good movie.
What the fuck is this movie?
It's so good. It's a fucking classic.
He stabs his eye out.
Yep. I would legit, because I know we're laughing. I know we're laughing, but I legit think this is a movie that should be remembered because it's unique.
It is very unique.
It's unique. It's kind of weird. It's not your regular movie. Everybody's doing a good job in it. My only big critique is just the very end. And
that
again,
that's a real curveball.
Yeah. But it's yeah. All right. So he gets in his yard again, and the maid chases him off once, mm-hmm. and she's like very upset, and Devin Sawa kisses her, and she's mm-hmm. like, "Hey, don't do that," and he's like, "Sorry," and like he reveals later that he's done it before, so they had a relationship,
and she says right in that scene, she's like, "I don't think we should do that anymore." So you're it's right. clear that they had been having like a physical relationship for right, at least yeah. a little bit before that.
Later John Travolta goes back and sneaks into Devin Sawa's yard, and the maid runs out again.
Mm-hmm.
And this is after he asked
with a feather duster.
Yeah, and this is after the gardener. They established the gardener that did you see anybody out here? And John Travolta pushes her. I want to back up even more.
She's swatting him with a feather duster. Yeah. She pushes her and she falls and smashes her head on a bird bath and dies.
And dies. Her body is not found for like what feels
for
like a week.
Days.
Nobody's looking in that backyard.
He's at home with his son.
She's just rotting in the backyard, which in fairness, I spend most of my days inside. So depending on who you are,
there could be a body in my yard right now.
Exactly. Yeah. I want to back up a little to talk about the real villain of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the old wise security guard.
Yeah, the guy that like encourages him to attack people.
Well, I get it, because he catches John Travolta getting picked on in the bathroom by what's his name and the magician.
Todd the street magician.
And he says, You need to learn to stand up for yourself, Moose. And he's not wrong. And he's like, "You're a good guy. You shouldn't let him push you around." Then later, when he sees Moose in the alleyway, and Moose harasses him, he chokes Moose, not Moose, Todd harasses
Todd,
Moose.
Todd, the street magician.
Moose chokes out Todd.
Right, while screaming a truly insane threat into his face.
Yes. He says, I wish
Freddy Krueger would appear and chop off your head, and it would roll into the street and get squished by a truck, and blood would splatter everywhere.
Right, which again, he's the whole time supposed to be a horror fanatic.
Yeah.
The scariest of fans.
And he has like his hair. Can we talk about his hair?
Yes, we can. I feel like, all right, hold on. I want to get through
all
this.
Right, yeah, the point of what you were saying, yeah.
Yeah, and so he chokes him out in a truly chilling way. The old security guy watches the whole thing, and then when Todd runs off, he's like, goes to the security guy, like, "I'm sorry." The security guy's like, "No, Moose, I'm proud of you. Way
I'm
to assert
you.
Yourself."
You
and
did
it's like,
good.
Yeah.
It's like, don't encourage that.
Yeah. So basically, he asserts himself later by shoving the maid into a bird bath, in where she cracks her head open and dies.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. You want to talk about the hair now?
I want to talk about the hair. He's got Billy Ray Cyrus hair. Billy Ray Cyrus completely shaved the sides of his head.
Yes. It's a fascinating choice. It is, because it is a choice.
It's
because
a choice,
he's doing
yeah.
that. All right. I get the idea that he's on the spectrum or something like that, but like, I mean, that's not an excuse for having.
No, I'm just talking about the filmmaking standpoint.
Well,
I'm
trying to think of the motivation. Like, maybe, and I relate to this, he doesn't like hair around his ears, which I relate to. So maybe because it's not a natural occurrence.
No, the only thing I can think of is the obvious thing. It's just, this is a way to immediately show you that he does not socialize
right.
in what is considered a normal way, quote unquote.
Right. I'm just trying to get inside the character's head and figure out why he would do that. I think it's like he cuts his own hair. Obviously.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, yeah.
He shaves around the ears because he likes it. Mm-hmm. He has, like, it's Billy Ray Cyrus. It's a Caesar front.
Yes. Yeah.
Billy Ray back.
Like the George Clooney Caesar cut from the 90s in the yeah. front. Billy it Ray is, in the back.
It's impressive. It's impressive
it's such,
hairstyle.
It's such a landscape.
Like, the idea is to show someone who doesn't care about style, but honestly, it would be like...
I feel like he has his finger firmly on the pulse there.
Yeah. Well, it would be, like, hard to do that hairstyle.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue.
It takes some navigation. Yeah, you gotta really... It's a plan.
Yes, it's a plan. It's, like, it's matched. Like, both sides are shaved perfectly to match. It's... Wow.
Yeah. It's a real work of art.
It is. So... he kills the maid. And this was the moment I was I'll use the term offended, I guess, where I was like, oh, don't do that. Because up until this point, again, he's supposed to be on the spectrum. There's something. They're pointing towards that direction. And he kills the maid, and then he just starts talking at her. Like, oh, you gotta... She's dead. She's dead. He punches her in the face.
Her brain's coming out of her nose. Like, she's dead.
And he's like, oh, you got a nosebleed. You gotta put a towel on that. And he starts talking like he doesn't understand what's happening. Like, fundamentally doesn't understand that he killed her. And it's like, that's not a thing. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do
and
that.
Also, he clearly does understand what that is because he's been talking about horror movies and...
Right. And so that's so
even,
the point
even
where
just
they...
from this character's standpoint, it doesn't make any sense that he wouldn't understand that somebody was dead.
Yeah, that's the point where it's like, okay, he's a sociopath now. Don't try to make it seem like it's not that. Mm-hmm. And so it's a hard turn in that character.
Yeah, and he doesn't tell anybody about it. Like,
no, he doesn't. He just leaves her
never
there.
Never thinks about her again. Yeah, it's a bizarre decision.
Yeah, what I thought was going to happen, which I think would be more interesting, is that he legit freaks out because he isn't a sociopath, leaves the yard, and that continues it where Devon Sawa finds a fucking corpse in his yard. And that would ramp up. What's interesting about this movie is that it is like Cape Fear-ish, but unlike most stalker movies, it's told from the perspective of the villain, of the stalker. Which is on purpose. They knew that was subverting it, I'm sure. Because then he breaks into Devon Sawa's house.
And it's just living there, like when he's hiding under the kid's bed.
Oh, yeah.
He reaches out and grabs one of the toys.
Yeah, they go like a day and a half without noticing that John Travolta's in their house.
Just living in their house.
He
And this is after the maid has been killed.
Yep, they are very unobservant for a very long time.
Yeah.
He hides in the closets.
Yeah.
He
uses a toothbrush.
He uses the toothbrush. He eats their food. He hides under the bed. Steals the toy. He's like a goblin. Like they drop a toy and it goes like under the bed.
Kids like, you gotta look under my bed for John Travolta.
Yeah.
Dad, kids John Travolta's always, under my bed.
Yeah. And then Devon Sawa falls asleep in his chair, and John Travolta kisses him on the forehead, which I was aww. He's tucking Devon in, and he puts
he's
a little blanket
little
over
in.
Him, and he takes a picture with him, and then I just remembered, this isn't the end of the movie. It just occurred to me that this isn't even close.
Yeah, he sleeps in the chair next to him, and then just wakes up the next morning
and leaves, and like, this isn't the end game, and Devon Sawa then gets up, dead maid in the backyard.
Nobody's finding that maid yet.
Nope. He just goes, he leaves with his son. Oh, man.
They go, they go driving. And then Devon Sawa's to his son, to his, like his 10 or 11 year old son, is like, you want to listen to some music? You want to listen to some Limp Bizkit? You
yeah,
like
that
the
point,
Bizkit?
I was like, oh,
puts on
Fred.
A Limp Bizkit song. It's like, oh, Fred Durst.
Oh, Fred.
Did we point that out? This is written and directed by Fred Durst.
I think we must have. That's the most important thing. Yeah, that was like, I know that Fred Durst did that knowing it would be funny. Like, he must be self-aware enough to know that having Devin Sawa spend like a minute being talking like, how great is Limp Bizkit? Like, yeah. I was waiting for a different wink. I was waiting for him to like turn on the radio and be like, oh, I hate these guys or something.
Right.
Or like, oh, these guys used to be good. Like,
yeah, his kid to react in a way that a kid in 2019 would react. Right. Be like, who's Limp Bizkit?
But I kind of appreciated Fred Durst being like, you know what? I'm going to suck my own dick for a second here.
Yeah, everybody just watch for a minute. I'm going to blow myself.
Yeah, and I know that you know. We all know that this is a joke.
We all know what I'm doing, but I'm going to do it.
I'm going to do it.
So we're just going to watch me do this for a few seconds, and it's done. It's done. Yep. Then we can move on.
That was fucking fantastic.
That's pretty great.
I really appreciated that. Because that's gonna be a moment when this becomes a classic, like Cape Fear. When this is in film schools 50 years from now,
it'll be discussed in the same lesson as Cape Fear.
Yeah,
for sure.
We're not gonna know the context of that necessarily, so it'll seem like a brilliant non sequitur moment. But then film schools will teach like, oh, but that's actually the director, Fred Durst. Classic director before he became the next Orson Welles, he was in a band. Little known fact about Fred Durst. I really hope he keeps making movies. This was more of this. We're making fun of it, but like it never bored me. I was with it the whole time.
Yeah, I couldn't take my eyes off of it.
Yeah, it might be weird. It might make little sense here and there. But again, I can't stress enough that I really enjoyed this.
What a fascinating picture. Yeah.
So he sees John Travolta walking from his house that he just broke into.
Mm-hmm.
And he pulls over, and in front of his son, he starts like grabbing John Travolta and be like, I told you to stay the fuck out of this neighborhood.
Yeah.
He's a real prick. And he makes John Travolta say it.
Yeah, says he's going to shove his shotgun up his ass.
Right, and John Travolta runs home crying. Oh, that's when. Is that when he burns all the stuff and he calls him a dummy in the mirror?
Yes.
Okay, so we skipped around a little bit.
Yeah, who cares? Seems like a fever dream.
Yeah, and then, his paparazzi friend shows up, and this is fascinating. She's a fascinating character.
This character is baffling.
She's like, why does it smell like gasoline in here? Also, I looked on your social media and saw that you have posted that you have broken into his house. And you have taken a selfie with his sleeping body and posted it. You need to stop. Like, she acts like he has a light drug problem. Like, look, I'm your friend. I need to tell you, you can't post illegal shit. Like, that's it. She treats it like he posted a picture of him smoking or doing cocaine on, like, you can't put illegal shit online. And it's like, yes, the legal shit you're talking about is breaking into a man's house and taking photographs with him. You need to call the cops.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So, yeah. And again, it smells like gasoline, as she notes. So, like, Tom, if I came over your house, and it stunk like gasoline, if you came over my house and it stunk like gasoline, and I had posted a Twitter photograph of me with a sleeping Bruce Campbell, you'd probably call somebody, right? At that point, you wouldn't just be like, "Hey, cut it out, Dave."
I don't know. I would like to think that I would be a good enough friend to sit you down and be like, look, Dave, you can't go breaking into people's house.
You can't light Bruce Campbell on fire, Dave.
Yeah, you can't do this to Bruce Campbell, buddy. You can't burn Bruce Campbell.
Yeah. Just that combination of things. But instead, he's just like, you know what? Get out of here. I hate you. And he kicks her out. And then
after blocking her, he's like, after I blocked you on social media.
Yeah.
Get out.
And then I think from there we cut to Devin Sawa waking up tied up, I believe.
Yes.
Devin Sawa wakes up in bed and he is completely tied up.
Yep.
And John Travolta is
with an uncomfortable amount of tissues in his mouth.
Yeah. I don't want to know what those tissues were used for.
You know what they were used for.
All right, fair enough. He pretends to be dead next to him, which at first I thought, what a great choice that he's like died off screen, but he says, oh, I jigsawed you, and gets up. And he's doing all these horror movie tropes. He dresses as Jason Voorhees.
Yep.
He pretends to stab him. He pretends to light him on fire like Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, he keeps saying, Reservoir Dogs, he keeps saying Mr. Blonde. Yeah,
my bad. Yeah. And so it's just him like acting out these weird things while sort of ranting at him.
Mm-hmm.
And like, again, John Gerald is doing a great job with this character.
Yeah.
It's
as wildly offensive as it probably is.
Yeah. Can't stress that enough. Mm-hmm. But he's doing it.
Like, he is committed to it. Yeah,
he's committed to it. And Devon Sawa is doing a great job in this scene of like trying to reason with him. And he he uses the power of acting to.
Yeah, he uses his acting power, his acting talent. He swore he would never act again. Just
right.
Team America now.
But he tells him to envision them like going out and partying and having a great time. And all he has to do is untie him. And so he unties him and Devon Sawa headbutts him.
Yeah, he's like, he unties both of his hands and like, you know what's happening. It's not a bad moment because it's just like, it's kind of, I mean, it's tense, but it's also kind of a little heartbreaking because you do feel bad for John Travolta.
Right, because John Travolta's reaction is just to cry when this stuff is happening.
Yeah.
He's not.
He goes like, after he gets both of his hands free, he's like, put her there. And he shakes John Travolta's hand and then headbutts the life out of him.
Yep. And then
a skull crushing headbutt.
Yeah.
And then it turns into a slasher movie.
Yeah, well, this is a fascinating thing, is that he sleeps with like a shotgun next
right
to
his above
bed,
his bed, a loaded which, shotgun.
In fairness, in this situation, that wasn't a bad idea to have that there. And then he takes out like a Scream knife, like a hunting knife.
He has a hunting knife, yeah.
So he blows away John Travolta's fingers.
Yeah.
He like throws him down some stairs.
Yeah, it's a real... There's some real cruelty on display.
Yeah, when he ticked out the knife, I thought, oh, is the twist of this movie going to be that Devon Sawa is a serial killer? Like, is the twist going to be a reveal that this actor is actually a maniac?
I think that's part of the reveal.
Part of the reveal, but then not. because then he stabs John Travolta in the eye,
mm-hmm.
and then he's standing over him, and he seemingly snaps out of it.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And so at this point, you'd think, okay, pick up your phone.
Yeah, it is.
Call the police.
Once again, this movie could have been called Just Call the Cops.
Yeah.
And at this point, it is time to call the police.
You feel like, okay, the movie is over. The movie's over. The tense, like this, what happens is they call the cops gun. And instead, he like helps John Travolta up. Gives him a towel for his hand.
He wraps his destroyed hand up in a towel.
Yeah, and then he ushers him out his door.
Yeah.
And John Travolta, like, weeping, just leaves. And I get, the idea that maybe he felt bad for
him. Weeping, yeah.
And I think that's supposed to be the idea, but, like, if you feel bad for him, call the police. Because the police, like, he needs to go somewhere. Like, he's clearly...
He's already killed a person.
Yeah, Devin doesn't know that, but, like...
That's true, yeah.
He did break into his house, tie him up, and threaten to kill him. And, like, at this point, like, he clearly needs help.
Yeah.
But he lets him leave. And then John Travolta is wandering down the street, and I loved this moment. This was fucking dark and fantastic moment. He's got one eye out. He's bleeding everywhere. His hand's gone.
The walk of fame, yeah.
Yeah, he's crying, and two tourists walk by, think he's one of those street performers, and takes a picture with him. And I love John Travolta crying, still tries to smile.
Still tries to
picture.
Smile, yep.
And it was like, fuck, yes. Because the whole point of the narration, and again, there's some good stuff in this, because at the beginning she talks about how Hollywood like chews you up, and like it takes a lot out of you, and people try to pick themselves back up. And that's the idea behind this character, is that he's such a sad person that's trying so hard to work out, for things to work out for him. Like he clearly needs help. And so that moment of like, he's on the street, he's bleeding, he needs so much help, and he's still like, everything's good, like I'm gonna smile, is a fantastic moment.
Yeah,
like this character would probably work out if he didn't they didn't make him a murderous sociopath. If they just made him, like, you know, like, again, 1 hour photo is a good milestone for this, because they do it in a way that it's like he's doing bad things that are wrong, but ultimately you're like, oh, I get it. I get where he's coming from and what the problem is, because he doesn't hurt. I don't think in 1 hour photo he doesn't hurt anybody. He
fantasizes about it, right?
Yeah, he catches the husband cheating on the wife, and he becomes obsessed with that because he sees this perfect family, and then he, spoilers for 1 hour photo, he breaks into the hotel where they're having an affair, the husband and the girlfriend. He forces them, I think at gunpoint, to do sex positions and takes pictures of them, and it becomes extremely clear that this is a thing that happened to him in his youth. And so it's just like, oh, fuck. Like, it's heavy. And, like, this movie kind of brushes upon those ideas of, like...
We get a brief scene, of him as a little kid just parked in front of the TV while his mom's banging dudes in the background.
And, again, I think the part where he smiles for the photograph is tremendous. Like, I love that moment.
Yeah.
But then this happens.
Then the rest of the movie happens.
Yeah. Then Devon Sawa, the police come to his door.
Yep.
And I thought, oh, good, he called the police.
No, he didn't.
The gardener called the police because somebody found the maid's body.
Somebody found Dora, the maid's body, just laying in the yard for days now.
Yep. And the gardener, like, points at Devon Sawa, implicating him. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I don't know why he thinks it, and the cops, without question, arrest Devon Sawa.
Yeah.
And they take him in, like, this is it for him. He's going to jail. And then they show, like, John Travolta on the street, and his friend finds him. And then the movie ends.
Yep.
And it was like, no, if the movie was around for 10 more minutes, what would happen was the cops would go see all the blood, the DNA of multiple people in Devon Sawa's house, see the rope, see the social media posts, let Devon Sawa go and arrest John Travolta.
And arrest John Travolta, who is easy to find.
Yes.
As he is multiple bleeding witnesses all over Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah, the movie wants us to think it's going to end with Devon Sawa going to jail and John Travolta getting off free. And it's like, no, that's not what happened.
That's not what's going to happen. No.
No. That's not that day. He's going to be let out of prison.
Right. Yeah. Like,
that day, the roles would be reversed. It's such a weird choice to try to convince us that that's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I get the instinct of having some sort of twisty ending, but I feel like they had to set up in a way that would have been more smart. If John Travolta was better at hiding his tracks, if, like, Devon Sawa was seen arguing with the maid or something, like, if it was more of a reason to think that they...
But no, there's... Yeah. There's none of that.
Yeah.
Guys, and that's the fanatic!
That's the fanatic. So I guess this is... And I want to be clear about this. I think this movie is really good. I think this movie is very close to being a very good movie. And the decisions that I think hurt it is equating John Travolta's condition to being a murderer, to being dangerous, to being evil.
Yeah.
And the ending being so weird.
Yeah.
So incredibly, those two things, they're two very small parts of this movie, but they make a big difference.
Yeah.
And I suspect that's why this has a low score in Rotten Tomatoes, why critics didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Did audiences like it?
No, I don't think so.
Mm.
I don't think anybody liked this movie.
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. It's schlocky.
It's schlocky, but in a way that's thoroughly entertaining.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, it's also damaging.
It is. Yeah, this is not helpful.
No, this is not a helpful portrayal. It's not putting out anything good into the world. Because the idea at the end is sort of like, Devon Sawa goes to jail and they're like, poor Devon Sawa, see? And it's like, no. I don't think that's what would have happened.
No.
But
I reject that.
Yeah, I reject that ending. I don't reject the film.
Watch this fucking movie. Watch it.
Yeah, I think...
Gather around.
Yeah. I knew... The acting of John Travolta is exactly what you'd sort of expect. He's never been a... He's never been known for not being able to do shit like this, you know? Like,
yeah, he's also never been known for his subtlety.
No, but it, I thought it, okay, yeah, in like Face Off and Broken Arrow, he's like over the top. We know that he's an outgoing actor, but I've never quite seen him do something like this, you know? And I appreciated the choices he made, mm-hmm. even though it was probably the wrong choice. I think the real MVP was Devon Sawa, mainly because he plays a jerk really well in this. And again, yeah. I don't think Devon Sawa's never not been good. I enjoy him in everything. But maybe I haven't watched enough of his recent work, but I haven't seen him be like a real asshole.
No, I've only seen stuff like, you know, Idle Hands and Final Destination and things like that.
Yeah, and he plays a real good asshole, so...
Yeah, solid dick.
Yeah. And again, Durst comes out of this looking talented. No one's talent is in question. It's the judgment. It's the writing.
There's some decisions that were made, and so... It's like, I don't know about that one.
Yeah, and they are pretty... They're like, the judgment is... bad enough that it's like, man, like, you kind of lost me. Oh, fuck yeah,
man, what a motion picture.
Yeah, you know, we might have to talk about this again, right? Adam Todd Brown wants to do a best bad movie about it. That was one where the moment he's like, I love this film, I want to defend it, I was like, of course you do. Like, I haven't even seen it yet, and I was like, of course you love this movie.
Yeah, I'm excited to do that, to talk about this movie for another hour.
Oh,
100%. All I want to do is talk about this film.
Yeah, and I encourage people to, I think, see it. Understand that it's not a... The way it handles mental health is, I believe... Like, I would say it's a very damaging way to handle mental health, except I don't think for a second anybody's going to be convinced by this movie or influenced by it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, it's still
a bad thing to put out there.
Yeah.
And it's not, it shouldn't be taken lightly in that regard.
No, for sure.
But it goes very interesting places. They really just needed to make him more of they needed to lay off of that and make him more like a desperate person trying to make it.
Right, just a sad person.
Just a sad person. It was, like you said at the top of this, it doesn't have anything to do with the character, like with the problem, with the conflict. At least it wants us to, it seems to want to think it does, but it doesn't. It's that he's a sociopath. It's that he's sad. Like, it's not related. So it's a weird decision.
Those are final thoughts.
The fanatic, you guys.
The fucking fanatic.
By the way, we didn't mention this. There's not much going on in the theaters this weekend.
There's a couple of limited release things, like The Day Will Come, or what is that?
Day Will Come, yeah. Abominable.
Abominable.
Yeah. So we chose this, and I don't regret it, and I enjoyed it.
I mean, we chose Travolta and his wig.
Yeah.
The day shall come. My mistake.
The day shall come. So thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, you guys.
I want to wrap this up because I realized that we got another podcast to record. You should check out our Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of tiers. Check that shit out. Thanks for listening. Tom, you want to plug our store?
I do. It's tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed. You get shirts and posters and all kinds of stuff in there. Click on that shit.
Yes. And watch The Fanatic.
Watch The Fanatic. Just keep it on in a perpetual loop.
Yes.